Good morning. It is the first time I stand here after my trip to Africa, and I had in mind to just present three or four slides, but I got in trouble yesterday with my computer, and I can't do that, unfortunately. I'm sorry for that, but one day I will do that for you, just to give you an idea on things we are doing there. But today, I will continue with what we had started before I traveled. Okay, before I traveled about the doctrine. The doctrine we started about the doctrine of the Bible. We took 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, where it is said to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. And last time, we have seen what is said about the scriptures, Bible, what is the Bible and what are its attributes. Also, we saw the doctrine about God, who is God and what are his attributes. We will come back a little bit on the attribute of God, because we are going to speak today about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God as well. And we will see how he has the attributes we saw last time about God. But I chose these two scriptures from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read, "For I delivered to you," it is Paul who speaks, "to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So we will speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, his incarnation, his deity and humanity, the Lord's death on the cross, the Jesus Christ's ministries on earth, and the conclusion. I just want to speak about the God-man life answers to the man's problems. It is very good to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ at this time, at the end of the year, where people are in the shopping centers to buy gifts for the Christmas. But I am wondering if they have in mind what is Christ for them. Who is the Christ for us? It is amazing that they have put this reminder at the end of the year, but the Lord was not born at the end of the year. He was born somewhere in summer. I don't know at what date, but we have what we have for political reason. The incarnation, deity, and humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read, John 1:14 said, "And the Word became flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So, definition of incarnation. Incarnation is the act by which the Son of God voluntarily took on human flesh, human body. He took a human body. We have seen last time that God is spirit. and the spirit doesn't have a body. But the Lord Jesus Christ took the body, human body. The term incarnation is not in the Bible, but just when you see the expression, the word became flesh, you can understand that it is the incarnation. As it is also mentioned in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, and 1 Timothy 3, 16. I have a chosen scripture from the New King James Version of the Bible, and I will not mention, read all these verses because there are many. I have chosen a few. I have put verses just for those who want to deepen their understanding of the topic. One who deny, the Bible says, that one who deny the Jesus Christ incarnation is considered being antichrist. So recognizing that the Lord Jesus Christ became human being for us is very important. Denying it means that you are antichrist, as it is mentioned in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, and in 2 John verse 7. Specificity and objective of the Jesus Christ's incarnation. His birth was special from a virgin mother to save his people from their sins, as it was announced by Isaiah. And it is said in Isaiah 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So, virgin lady who gave birth, that is special. It is not normal. Although being born in the likeness of sinful flesh, Jesus Christ did not sin, but he condemned the sin. He did not sin himself. He lived as a human being. The same nature that Adam and Eve had at the beginning, they had also the possibility to live forever. But they sinned and the death came in the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to condemn the sin and to give us hope for eternal life. So he gave us again that situation that was at the beginning. Romans 8 says this, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of the sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Through the incarnation, through the incarnation, the two nature, divine and human, are united in Jesus Christ. He is through God, as it is mentioned in Colossians 2:9 and in John 1:1 and so on, and he is also through man, we'll see that. With regard to his humanity, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, according to the prophecy of Micah. His genealogy are mentioned in Matthew and Luke. They give two genealogy, one of Joseph and another of Mary. But sometimes people are confusing because they mention Joseph in the other one, just because it is the system of paternality that was followed at that time. But it is the genealogy of Mary in Luke. And according to the prophecy of Micah, I say, concerning his deity, the Lord Jesus Christ himself has attested it. In John 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one, he said. And in John 14, verse 9, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father. So seeing Jesus was the same than seeing the Father. So he was God. There are different attributes that we have seen last time, but we can repeat them just for the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, God is pre-existent. And in John 1, Jesus Christ was John 1, verse 1, we say that Jesus also was pre-existent. God was infinite, but Jesus Christ had the body. He didn't lose his property of infinity, but he had a body. We could locate him somewhere. Omnipotent, the Lord Jesus Christ also was omnipotent, and there are different verses that affirm that. Omniscience, the Lord Jesus Christ also was omniscience. He knew everything. Omnipresent, this also, he had a body, so he could be located somewhere. And so on. But in some way, he said to his disciples, when you were in your garden with your brother, I saw you. He wasn't there, but he saw him there. But he could be located somewhere. Immutable, he doesn't change. Self-sufficient, as human, he was hungry, for example. That is, for he took the human body, he wanted to be as a human being, to face the same problems than a human being and vanquish it without sinning. So that he voluntarily did that. He was sovereign. He is sovereign. The Lord Jesus Christ was sovereign. Eternal sin, forgiveness. The Lord Jesus Christ does that as well. Giving eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ does that. Resurrection. He did the resurrection to show that he is God, sovereign. Judgment of all people, he will do that. And anyway, the Bible says that all judgment have been given to him. A human heart attribute, he has a human heart. He had a body. He has a body, and we have seen that. And the body died also, we have seen that. He sees and hears. He thought, he was thinking like a human being. He had a will like a human being. He acted as a human being. He felt and wept. He wept when he saw Lazarus in the coffin there. He wept. He knew that he will raise him from the dead, but he wept when he saw the situation of death. But that raising, when Lazarus rose, he died after that. But we will see that with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will come back, but forever. He was thirsty like a human being. He was hungry as a human being. He slept as a human being. He walked with his hands as a human being. He was tempted by Satan as a human being, but he didn't sin. And the main difference with the human being is that he didn't sin. Despite all the problems he went through, he didn't sin. In addition to exclusive attributes to God, Jesus had perfectly, were the attributes that God possesses perfectly, but that human beings are developing in their lives, namely love, for example, grace, mercy, goodness, holiness, righteousness, generosity, and wrath. You remember, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was very angry when he found people selling things in the temple in Jerusalem. He was very angry there. So wrath he could have that. Objective of the incarnation. What are the objectives? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ came as a human being? To defeat Satan and condemn the sin in the human body. That was the main objective, to defeat Satan and condemn the sin in the human body. Human sin, like the one that started in the Eden garden by Adam and Eve, proving there's an effective sacrifice and fulfill the Davidic covenant. Will come back on the effectiveness of this sacrifice. Romans 8, verse 3 says this: for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. And in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, we read this: for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And another objective was to make one man pay for sins committed by many sinners who cannot atone for their own sins. We cannot pay for our own sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to pay for sins of people who are unable to pay for their own sins. And finally, another objective is to share the condition of man, except for sin, in order to sympathize with their weaknesses, and also to complete and fulfill God's revelation to man. He came to teach us, what is the will of God. Remember, his teaching on the mountain, he was specifying things. It has been said this, I tell you that this is the situation. He was telling us what is the will of God for human being. And when he went, he asked to his apostles to continue. And he sent the Holy Spirit to help his apostles to remember things they had to continue to teach. So he came to reveal us who God is and what is the will of God that we have in the Gospels. He came also to destroy the works of Satan, as we said, and finally to provide an example to our lives. There are some things that the Lord Jesus Christ did just to give us an example. Remember what he did in the garden the day he has been arrested. He prayed. He prayed his Father, if it is possible, remove this, but your will, not mine. Your will, not mine. This is an example for us. Because a few days before, he said to Peter, who tried to persuade him that he could not be arrested, they will not accept that he will be arrested and killed. He told Peter, away from me, Satan, something like that. He knew that he will be, he announced his own death. And he came here for that. So he knew that. And he accepted that. So to provide us an example, there are many things he did just to give us an example of life. And to be able to be a qualified judge. As we said, God has left all the judgment in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, qualified judge. These are the objectives of his incarnation. But he died on the cross, as we have seen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize. This is Paul who says that, to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made for of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, so believers, it is the power of God. For Jews, I was surprised by, for Jews request signs, miracles. Jews were looking for miracles. And the Greeks, you know, Greeks were very specialist in discussion and in argumentation and so on. Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, so who are saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. So, to Greeks, and when I read this, I think to our time today, in many places you will see people announcing predication, teaching, oh, we will make miracles, and they attract many people, and so on and so on. And there are people who think that science, they want to lean on science to prove, to examine the gospel. They don't have the same basis, no. Science looks to what is visible, what is material, and something like that. But faith, the religion, is based on faith, not something that is necessarily visible. So they have two different bases. So we are in the same situation than what we had at that time, Greek and Jews who were looking for miracles, or who were looking for wisdom. So it is not the same thing. It was on the cross that our Savior died, and in John 19:18, they crucified him and two others with him, one on his on either side, and Jesus in the center. He was crucified. Why was Christ's death on the cross necessary? God is holy and righteous. So, and a sinner cannot enter his presence. A sinner cannot stand in the presence of God. You need to be purified. All human beings are sinners and guilty before God. So, no right to stand before God, to be in the presence of God. Sin must be judged and punished by death, as it has been said at the beginning. Sin must be punished by death. Death came in the world following the sin of our first parents. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That is in Hebrews 9:22. So to save the human sinners, God sent his Son to die and shed his own blood as payment of the penalty of any human being who accepts that Jesus Christ's sacrifice was a substitute payment of own sin. This attests God's justice and mercy. So, if you accept that for my sin, the sacrifice of the Lord on the cross, the blood that came there was paid for my sins, then you can be accepted to present yourself in the presence of God. So that is very important. How perfect was this sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? It was a blood sacrifice, as we said. Without shedding a blood, there is no sin remission. It was a human sacrifice. In Hebrews 9, we read this, not with the blood of goats and the calves, as was done in the Old Testament, when people wanted to purify themselves, they were offering animals, and only one, the great priest, could take this blood to the sanctuary, where it was supposed to be a place where God, the presence of God was. Only one high priest. But today, it is each of us who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior can be in the presence of God. So, let us go. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all. Not every year, no, once for all. Having obtained eternal redemption, not annual redemption, no, eternal redemption. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Also, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was a sinless sacrifice, as we said. He did not sin. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, 19, we read this, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And it was a divine sacrifice. Divine sacrifice, the God's sacrifice. The mystery, in 2 Corinthians 5, we read this, the ministry of reconciliation, God reconciled, the Lord Jesus Christ allowed the reconciliation between us and God. Reconciliation, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And that sacrifice was a loving sacrifice. And they compared that to the love between a husband and wife. But we know that in John 3:16 it is said that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. So the love of God was there. And it was sufficient sacrifice. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the whole world. That is what he said in that verse. Resurrection now and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The importance of resurrection, it is important to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because if he did not rise, then he was a liar, as he predicted it. In Matthew 20:18, he says, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. He will rise again. He predicted that. So if he did not rise, he could be a liar, but he rose. We know that. To his work also, it is very important to his work. If he did not do it, he would not be alive and head of the church. We are in the church with a living God, a living Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 2, it is said at the verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, that is Paul who says that, But Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live is the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So he lives, we live. It was important, the resurrection, for the gospel, for the teaching of the gospel. This is very well attested in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, we can still read, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me, by Paul, also as by one born out of due time." Its importance for us is indicated in Romans 4 as well. In Romans 4, verse 25, "Christ was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." Was raised for our justification. The resurrection then. To us also, it was very important, as it is mentioned there. If Christ did not rise, then our witness is false as believers. Our faith is without meaningful content, and our prospect for the future, that we will go in heaven, could not be accepted. So our future could be hopeless if he didn't do that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 13, we read this: "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in the life only, in this life only, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable." Miserable, I could say, just miserable human being, if we have hope only on this life. Resurrection and ascension, and we continue with that again. What are the results then of resurrection? A new prototype body. With the resurrection of Christ, it appeared for the first time in history a new kind of resurrected body, resurrection body. He rose with an eternal body, never die again. Not like Lazarus and others who has been resurrected from the death after 3 days or 4 days or something like that, but not die again, a body that will not die again. Also resembling to his earthly body on different grounds, we have seen that. It was different, as he could enter closed rooms without opening doors. Risen Christ is also described in Revelation 1 verse 13 as this: unlike the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ attests that. Christ's risen is the prototype of the resurrection of believers. So we'll also have a body like the one that Christ had after resurrection. Believers in the eternal state will not be the same bodies that were laid in the grave, but they will be in new bodies, yet related to the former ones, the former body that they had. So we will recognize each other there. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a proof of his claims. He proves his truthfulness as a prophet and validate his claim to be Lord and Messiah. You know, I just learned Messiah means Christ. I didn't know that. Messiah is in Aramaic, and Christ was in Greek, so or Latin, something like that. The Lord's resurrection was the prerequisite to all his subsequent ministries, namely sending the Holy Spirit. He promised to send the Holy Spirit. If he didn't go in heaven after his resurrection, he could not send the Holy Spirit anymore. Being the builder of his body, the church, the builder of the church, thanks to the resurrection, he could build the church and leave the disciples to teach the gospel and so on. Give a gift to the body, to the church. He gives different gifts to the church. Empowering the body through the body, understand by that the church, through the good relationship with the believers. Being high priest who sympathizes and also gives grace to his people and intercedes for them. Preparer of place in heaven for the believers, raiser of the dead at the rapture, and the judge, rewarder of people, and ruler of the world. All these things have been made possible thanks to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What were the ministries of Jesus Christ as a God-man? We have retained four ministries. He is a savior concerning his son. As a man, he died. And as God, he gave death meanings, receiving the punishment for sins of many to save them graciously, as we can see in Romans 1, chapter 3, and in 1 Peter 2, verse 24. As high priest, as human being, to represent man as a sacrifice for sins. And as God, the Lord Jesus Christ represents his people before God. And judge, as a judge, to judge as peer. And as God, to judge righteously. Source of Christian living, as man, he to be our examples, as we have seen. But as God, to empower our lives. As a conclusion, the life of Jesus Christ on earth as a God-man brings answers to the human salvation problems, our human salvation problems. The first problem of the human being is guilt before God. all are sinners and guilty before God. So the human being is not righteous. By one man, obedience many will be made righteous. That is the solution that the Lord gave to us, as it is mentioned in Romans 5:19. The human being don't have understanding. This morning they said we should sing with understanding. That was good to see how the Holy Spirit leads things. Not understanding. There are many things we can't understand, and we don't understand either sometimes. So the solution in Christ, the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. The human being are turned away from God, but the solution in Christ, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, 25. And the human being nature have become useless. But for if these things that are taught by the Lord Jesus Christ, which is faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, well, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So things he have taught us will make us more fruitful and useful. No good works in the human being, but the Lord Jesus Christ, for we are his own workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It is, Paul speaks about this at length in Romans, in different chapters, especially in chapter 8, he insists on this to say that now I left the law of the flesh to adopt the law of life. Tempting verse. Facing death. So the human being naturally face death. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. So everlasting life established again, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. So the sentence that was given to Adam and Eve about death, the Lord Jesus Christ has allowed us to go through that to gain again eternal life. Facing the wrath of God, much more so, the problem of the human being is to face the wrath of God. But much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Shall be saved from wrath of God through him. That is the solution that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought to us, thanks to his incarnation as a human being. And I think that as we are going through this time of Christmas period with people remembering about the Lord Jesus Christ, these solutions that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought in our lives should stay in our mind. Thank you very much for your attention.